Welcome to Words of the Prophets podcast. My name is Todd. I'm here with my daughter, Aaliyah, and my friend, Rivka. And this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How's it going, Aaliyah?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Any good music you've been listening to this week?
I haven't been listening to any new music, but I just finished writing a song, and so I've been listening to that because I like listening to what I write.
Awesome. And you gave me a little preview earlier and I want to hear the whole thing. So maybe after we're done or tomorrow, I'll get a chance to take a listen to it. I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure.
So great. Rivka, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I don't know if it's something about this podcast, but after another like gray, kind of gloomy week, I am looking out at blue skies again and sunshine.
Ooh. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that that seems to be the weather lately when we do this podcast. So,
it's too bad we don't have time to record every day. So, Well, thanks for joining us today. And I wanted to start a little bit differently. I'm just going to do a little bit of laying of foundation here. So, we've been doing this for around 20 episodes now, and we have sort of a pattern or groove we've gotten into. At some point earlier in one of our podcasts, someone invited us to change our wording from challenge to invite. And we sort of did that for a few episodes. And then I just sort of fell back into my pattern of saying the word challenge. And actually, for me personally, that word challenge goes way back to my mission. My mission president talked a lot about being a testifying and challenging missionary. But I just read a great article where they interviewed Elder Bednar on how to really get the most from General Conference. And he gave a great quote. He said, "The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that is being taught, find invitations to act related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognize the promised blessings that will come as we act in accordance with that invitation," he said. So we're going to adjust a little bit of our terminology here and maybe a little bit of the structure. Just a few minor things to fall in line with what Elder Bednar here is saying and with our earlier invitation to use that word invitation. So we'll be talking about doctrines or principles, the invitation to act, and those promised blessings. And I love Elder Bednar. He's just so clear. He puts everything in a way that's just so easy to understand. And I hope that that clarifies for all of us as well. And one of the other things he says towards the end of that interview was, "Listeners should not just passively listen, hoping inspiration will come without any effort," said Elder Bednar. "We should be agents who act and not objects that are acted upon." So we're going to hope to adopt that pattern here as we continue on with this podcast. So Rivka or Aaliyah, any thoughts on that or any comments?
I think it's fantastic. I love Elder Bednar's penchant for clarity as well. And I do like the term invite. It's the one that the Savior uses, right? He invites us to come.
It
in.
Is. Mm-hmm. Like it. And I love that just that little tweak that Elder Bednar adds there, not just invite, but invite to act. Just gives you a little bit of motivation to get going. So thanks to our prior suggestion and to Elder Bednar's suggestion, we're gonna make those changes today. So let's get going. So today we're going to talk about the talk Tested, Proved, and Polished by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. So Rivka, what were your general impressions as you reread this talk?
It's such an uplifting, optimistic talk. Despite the fact that he's talking about being tried and tested and proved, which doesn't seem all that optimistic of a topic. So I loved that. Also, he brings up Liberty Jail. So we have another talk to add to that ticker from this conference for Liberty Jail. So I appreciate that he starts out saying, "My hope is to give encouragement when life seems especially difficult and uncertain. For some of you, that time is now. If not, such a time will come." That is not a gloomy view. It is realistic yet optimistic. And I loved that. Realistic yet optimistic. because of God's purpose in the creation of this world. And then he goes on to talk about that purpose. So I liked reading through the realistic yet optimistic things that he had to teach us.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He refers to at the beginning, like maybe it's gloomy, but then it's realistic yet optimistic. And I think so many of these talks, this conference, have been about trials and about having hope through trials. And I like that terminology, realistic but optimistic. So Aaliyah, what were your impressions as you reread through this?
I just had the same kind of general ideas. I also really liked the quote somewhere in the middle. He mentions Liberty Jail, as we already said, and he says, "And if thou should be cast into the pit or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou should be cast into the deep, if the billowing surge conspire against thee, if the fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness and all the elements combine to hedge up thy way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open, the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." And so that was an interesting statement to me, because he lists all these terrible things that could happen. And at the end, he says that these things are good. And it's a little maybe counterintuitive at first, but I think it makes sense, especially in the context of the talk, that these good things are going to, as he says, give the experience, and it's going to help you grow. And if you use them right, if I don't know if that's the right way to word that, but if you take advantage of the trials, then they'll be for your good rather than just being destructive and, you know, sad and disappointing and terrible and bad. It'll be good instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And that what you read there was, you know, from the Doctrine and Covenants, and that's the Lord speaking to Joseph Smith in Liberty Jail, which, of course, as we've said over and over, just like casts such a shadow, not a shadow, but just a, I don't know what the right word is, but a shadow over this whole conference. Like, it came up so many times over and over and over. And obviously it was something that the Lord wanted to get out, you know, through his servants. To put that in a more simplified term, here's what Elder Irving's mother said to him when he was a child. "Oh, Hal, of course it's hard. It's supposed to be. Life is a test." I just thought that was a great sort of summary of like, yep, it's hard and it's supposed to be hard because it's a test. Aaliyah, did you have something else about that?
Yes, I do. So when I read this, I immediately thought of my dad and my mom too. Because, as you know, me and my siblings will often say like, why can't it be different? Like, it's so unfair. And like, why can't it just not be this way? And then my parents always respond, life isn't fair. And so, you know, that seems a little maybe harsh. And it does in this talk a little bit too, but it makes sense and it's true. So I just thought of you when I read this. I was like, oh, this is something my dad says.
Yeah, that's funny. I, about a year after I was called as bishop, we went and served as like chaperones for a group at youth conference. And it was a group of kids who weren't in our ward. Most of them weren't, a couple of them were, but the vast majority weren't. And, one of the girls at the, so we were with them for, you know, a couple days and all day long. And it was really fun and really intense. So one of the girls, after we were done, wrote us a thank you note. And we got this note a few days later in the mail, and basically all it said was, "Thanks for teaching me that life isn't fair." Oh, God. I was like, okay. I mean, yes, I'm glad you learned that. I don't know if I needed to be a little more compassionate. So there was a little bit more to that note, but hey, she got the lesson. So
yep,
that is funny.
Well, so I empathized with Elder Eyring's mother here. So. Well, Rivka, what kind of great quotes stuck out to you as you read through this?
You know, it's interesting. One of the things always interested me about that scripture when Joseph is in Liberty Jail is it starts out, "If thou," except that all of those things happen to him. Like, it's pretty much a checklist of things that he ended up experiencing. Mm-hmm. And It's kind of sandwiched between a couple of paragraphs. The one right before it starts out, God has the power to make our way easier. And we all know that. And sometimes I wish he would use that power a little more in my life. But then the next paragraph starts with the word yet. Yet. And then the paragraph underneath that, it says, you might reasonably wonder why a loving and all-powerful God allows our mortal test to be so hard. And he goes on to teach some great things. But the thing that's so interesting to me about this scripture, I don't know all of the blessings and opportunities and ways of growth that this experience provided for Joseph Smith personally. I can guess on some, but I don't know all of them. But I do know the blessings and opportunities for growth that have come to my life because he endured that situation. And that was something that I hadn't really thought about before in my enduring difficulties and trials, is that it can have great influence on others in our lives if we endure them well. Something that I thought about as I read through it this time.
So what you're saying is our trials can have an influence on others?
Well, absolutely. I think we all know that. But that our enduring them well can be a blessing to others and not okay. ourselves.
Okay. That's a really interesting thought. So can you give me an example of that?
Well,
and if you need time to think, we can kick over to Aaliyah for a minute.
I'm sure I can think of some, but largely the blessings that have come to me from watching other people endure trials well is an increased, I mean, I've seen that. My father and my husband both have had chronic pain and chronic illnesses their whole life. I don't have that. I don't know what that's like. But I have watched both of them endure for decades a real trial, physical pain and discomfort. And watching their willingness, sometimes the wrestle, but ultimately the willingness to accept what the Lord, and even seek out sometimes what the Lord is trying to teach them. And I have watched as it has refined and polished. That's what President Kimball says. He quotes President Kimball speaking about his mom, speaking at his mother's funeral. He says, some of you may wonder why Mildred had to suffer so much and so long. I will tell you why. It was because the Lord wanted to polish her a little more. And in watching others go through those things and accept the polishing, that's given me strength and determination to do the same, because I see the blessings that have come to them and I want those same blessings. So in that sense, that those, you know, those have been two huge influences on my, my outlook on trials and my willingness to endure.
Okay. That's a wonderful example and helps to really clarify. I have to say, when I read that quote, I thought, man, I'm okay being a little rough around the edges and not so shiny if it means that I don't have to be polished. But at the same time, you know, according to his mother, mm-hmm. that's what life is for. So, mm-hmm. Aaliyah, did you have any other quotes that really stuck out to you as you read through this?
Near the beginning, he says, "You and I accepted that invitation to be tested and to prove that we would choose to keep the commandments of God when we would no longer be in the presence of our Heavenly Father." So he's talking about in the premortal life, the war in heaven, and how we decided that we wanted to choose this plan where we come down to earth rather than Satan's plan where it would have been different. And I think it's a really empowering thought to know that everyone here on earth chose to be here. We already accepted the plan that would be harder for us. Mm-hmm. And we were committed to, you know, fulfilling it and following through with it. And we knew that it would be hard and that we wouldn't have the knowledge that we did in heaven, and that the veil would be there, and that You know, we were coming down to be tested and proved and polished, and we wanted it. And so we all agreed to do it. So I think it's helpful for me to know that I was strong enough to make that decision back then. And so I'm strong enough now, but it's also helpful for me to apply that to everyone else around me and know and acknowledge that they made that same decision as well.
Hmm. How does that impact your approach or your relationship with others to think about it that way?
I think it helps me to know that even if they don't have the gospel in their life, at some point they chose to have the same goals that I have. And that everyone is like, even if they don't have the access to the gospel in this life, that they will in heaven, and that they were put on this path because they chose this path. And so they'll probably choose to get back on the path when they have the chance to. And it just kind of, I don't know, equalizes everyone in my mind and saying that, like, we all were strong enough to make that decision. Like, we're all, good enough isn't really maybe the right word there, but like, we all did it. We're all here because we want it to be.
Right. I read a really interesting article talking about how, you know, sometimes when we talk about the war in heaven and Satan being cast out and presenting his plan and then being cast out, we say that we talk about how it's almost like he would, his plan was to basically control our choices, to make us do things that were right, so to speak. And this person went through all these quotes from different prophets and examined all the scriptures, and his idea doctrinally was, and I'm not sure which one is right doctrinally, what actually happened, but was that what Satan actually was presenting was sounded a lot like what we hear all the time right now, which is basically, it's not that he would force us to do right things. It's that his plan was to take away all the consequences. Like, it, nothing mattered essentially. And how attractive that is sometimes to just feel like, oh, you know, none of this matters and it's okay. And I don't need to sweat the small stuff like Elder Sawade said to do, you know, and I don't need to work on my, you know, my Christ-like characteristics, like Elder Whiting said. And, you know, I heard so many times on my mission, we're all going to end up in the same place. Like, all roads lead to the same place. But Aaliyah, when you say it like that, it makes me think, well, at some point, despite the fact that I just said I didn't want to be tested, proved, and polished, you know, I had that courage and that bravery to face, I knew that it was going to be hard, and I had the strength to choose that, to know that my choices would matter and that they would matter in a way that would help me become more like the Savior. You know, he says in the second paragraph, in so doing, their natures would be changed and they become more like him. So it does, it helps in the way we see others, but it also, I think, helps in the way we see ourselves, to know that, you know, we have that strength within us, and that's what got us here in the first place. And it can get us, you know, through this life as well. So thank you for that perspective. Rivka, what else stood out to you as you read through this?
Well, I have a great quote to go along with that I included in here. And then, and then another little thought. This is from President George Q. Cannon, who was in the first presidency a while ago. He said, "We have got to be watchful, for I tell you, God has sent us here to test us and to prove us. We were true in keeping our first estate. The people that are here today stood loyally by God and by Jesus, and they did not flinch. If you had flinched then, you would not be here with the priesthood upon you. Now you are here in your second estate, and you are going to be tested again. Will you be true and loyal to God with the curtain drawn between you and him, shut out from his presence and in the midst of darkness and temptation, with Satan and his invisible hosts all around you, bringing all manner of evil influence to bear upon you? The men and women that will be loyal under these circumstances, God will exalt, because it will be the highest test to which they can be subjected." So that, to me, is exactly what you were talking about, Aaliyah, that we all passed that first big testing to come down here. So we all did come from that point of view on equal ground, and then are finding our way through this second big test. And then kind of to follow along with that, he talks about the Father's plan of happiness, back to Elder Eyring. The Father's plan of happiness has at the center of our becoming, has at its center our becoming ever more like his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In all things, the Savior's example is our best guide. He was not exempt from the need to prove himself. And then a little while later, he says, when you wonder how much pain you can endure well, because all of that Satan's, you know, hosts going around you and all the difficulty and pain and trials we can endure, all the exquisiteness on either end, hearkening back to Elder Holland Jr.'s talk, the exquisites of life, the exquisite pain, the exquisite joy. It's a lot. So when he says, when Elder Eyring says, when you wonder how much pain you can endure well, remember him, meaning Jesus Christ. He suffered what you suffer so that he would know how to lift you up. So at first when I read, when you wonder how much pain you can endure well, remember him, my mind went to, right, I know he descended below all things. He had it worse. Why should I whine? I don't know why that was my initial response, because that's not at all what he's saying. Instead, he talks about the fact that he suffered what we did. And then he says down here in the very next paragraph, you are being nourished and comforted by a loving Savior who knows how to succor you in whatever tests you face. So then I read that and I went back to the question, when you wonder how much pain you can endure well, remember him, not because he did it so you can probably do it too, but because he is in there with you. And so because he has endured it, if you invite him with you, there's no way you won't overcome it, because he has the power to overcome it. So I love that idea. You are being nourished and comforted by a loving Savior in the midst of really difficult things. Or you can.
That's such a beautiful thought. And to me, that is the essence of hope in the gospel, knowing that we are just drawing on the power of someone who has already overcome everything. And so it gives us assurance as we press forward. So we're going to do things a little bit differently today. So I wanted to ask you both, if there were any invitations to act that you saw in here that stood out to you. So I'll start. And typically as I've read through these, I've only found one, sometimes two. So we may have all seen the same thing, but, after that, we'll talk about any promises we saw as we read through here. So I'll start with an invitation to act. And I think this is also right in the middle of the talk here, right after the part that you were talking about, Rivka, the paragraph that starts the way to come unto him. So he says, and this is what I think is one of his invitations, the way to come unto him is to feast upon his words, to exercise faith unto repentance, to choose to be baptized and confirmed by his authorized servant, and then to keep your covenants with God. He sends the Holy Ghost to be your companion, comforter, and guide. So I know he's sort of talking about the fundamentals here, which we call the primary answers usually, but I've decided I'm on a crusade to change it from primary answers to fundamentals, because primary answers makes it sound like it's for kids. And so he's talking about the fundamentals, you know, read your scriptures, repent, you know, baptized, confirmed, or if you've already had those, you know, renew your covenants through sacrament and then keep those covenants. So to me, that was his invitation, which is sort of a very broad, general gospel invitation, but one that is, you know, eternally applicable. Like every single day of your life, these are things that we should be following, or, you know, an invitation we should respond to and act upon. So are there any other invitations that either of you found in here as you read through it?
I've got one. In addition, we must notice the tribulation of others and try to help. That will be especially hard when we are being sorely tested ourselves, but we will discover as we lift another's burden, even a little, that our backs are strengthened as we sense a light in the darkness. So that's kind of a promise and an invitation in one. But I this kind of goes along with what Rivka was saying earlier about the trials of others and drawing strength from them. But in this case, he's saying that we can provide them some strength too. And I like that he uses the word notice the tribulation of others, because a lot of times we don't, because we have issues that we're working on too. And so it's not always intuitive to look around and try and see what others are going through, and to try and help too. But yeah.
Awesome. And of course that harkens back to Sister Craig's talk, right? To see others.
Mm-hmm.
And part one of seeing is noticing them.
Yeah.
And then she encourages us to see them deeply. So Rivka, did you find any other invitations to act?
Well, that was the same one that popped out to me, not during this week, but actually today, because I had an experience with this thing like 3 hours ago. this weekend.
Wow.
So this week for me, I've talked before about how I struggle with kind of generalized anxiety and depression. And this week for me has been one where I've had a flare up of symptoms. That's kind of how I talk about it now, because it makes sense to people who don't experience this. But I felt like a flaring of my symptoms.
Right.
And one of those symptoms is really harsh self-criticism, and it can spiral into some pretty deep feelings of worthlessness. And you know, I think for me, like I said before, suicidal ideology is not something that I've struggled with, but I can see how it could get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really struggling with that this week, and I know the principle that being of service can help pull us out of our struggles. But when you're in the middle of a pretty deep depression, that's not even something that you're really thinking about. But I have a friend who is recovering from a surgery, and was just talking with her this morning, texting, asking kind of how recovery was going and if there was anything I could do. And I was so grateful to her for answering, yeah, there is. My husband was going to go run and get bread and chicken pot pies, frozen chicken pot pies. But if you're going to be out at the store anyway, would you just do that so he could stay here with me? And I was like, yes, I would love that. So I went and did it, grabbed the stuff, dropped it off, had a little conversation with her husband and kind of her from a distance. And on my drive home, I had actually been listening to these talks again as I was at the grocery store. And on my drive home, I was thinking about that. And I came home and opened this up to kind of do my final prep for this podcast. And I reread this. That will be especially hard. Noticing the tribulations of others will be especially hard when we're being sorely tested ourselves. But we'll discover that as we lift another's burden, even a little, that our backs are strengthened and we sense a light in the darkness. And for me this morning, the ability to serve actually helped to mitigate my symptoms. And that was just a really unusual, surprising experience, like literal happening of what he's talking about in here. Because it dealt with my symptoms, I felt it. Like I felt physically the lifting when I was able to help someone in the middle of one of my own difficulties.
That is amazing, Rivka. What an incredible story. And thank you so much for being open about that and about your struggles and how the words of this apostle impacted you in that moment and how you were able to, you know, feel that lifting through your own service of others. And, you know, as part of the promises he gives in here, he says he may not remove the burden, but he will give you strength, comfort, and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things we can all use, but especially in times of deep trial. as we close up, are there any other promises that either of you found in here that really stuck out to you as you read?
These are just kind of general, and we've heard them before, but he says, so after the first invitation that my dad read, he says that he sends the Holy Ghost to be your companion, comforter, and guide. So that's what happens when we do the fundamentals like baptized and getting baptized and confirmed and keeping your covenants. And then at the end, he says, I testify that we are children of a Heavenly Father who loves us, and I feel President Russell M. Nelson's love for us all. He is the Lord's prophet in the world today. So it's more of a testimony than a promise per se, but I think we can still draw comfort from it.
Yeah, I love that. So just to recap those, he invites his action that he invites us to take is to live those fundamentals of the gospel and then notice the tribulation of others and serve them. And the promise he offers in return is our backs will be strengthened. We will sense a light in the darkness and our burdens may not be removed, but we'll feel strength and we'll be directed by the Lord. So what a great talk and what a tapestry of hope and strength and comfort this conference weaved for all of us. I mean, I have completely lost count of the talks that all talked about the same thing. You know, the Lord will do something unimaginable. Be of good cheer, waiting upon the Lord. Peace. I forgot the name of it, but peace through your trials and Liberty Jail coming up over and over and over. So if there's anything I took from this conference, it was that the Lord will be there to strengthen us and lift us up and carry us. And that, yeah, sometimes things will be hard. No doubt about that. And it will happen to all of us, whether it's now, in the past, or in the future. But the Lord can be there and there will be bread as we go through those tough times. So that's it for this talk today. Aaliyah, how can people get a hold of us?
So you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our usernames on all those are Words of the Prophets Podcast. And if you would like to email us instead, our email is wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks, Aaliyah. And the next talk we will talk about will be the last one we talk about before the April 2021 General Conference. And we'll end with the talk, Embrace the Future with Faith, by President Russell M. Nelson. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.